What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, February 4th, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Married to the Games is Gabe Patillo. Hello, Gabe.
What it do, Greg Miller?
How are you, good sir? Thank you for coming back to Kinda Funny Content. It's been too long.
Oh, man. Well, I'm happy to be here.
So now we gotta get, you know, the elephant out of the room, Gabe, all right? Does this McDonald's jacket look dope as hell? Because I woke up, found a package on my doorstep from McDonald's, put it on. Jen said, that looks great. I wore it to the Kind of Funny meeting. Tim mocks me. Kevin mocks me. Nick's mocks. This is a hell of a Letterman's jacket, ladies and gentlemen. Come on now.
I wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for McDonald's.
And so McDonald's
kept me alive in my youth.
This man's trying to get a Letterman's jacket too, and I appreciate it.
So I'm not about to discourage anything McDonald's, Doc. Shoot.
Thank you. Thank you. That means a lot to me. Gabe, in case people don't know, who are you and what do you do?
Oh, man. My name is Gabe Patillo. I host a video game podcast called Married to the Games. Come out every Friday. We are about to celebrate our 500th episode. We turn 10 this year. We've been doing it for a minute, man, just because we love it. But besides that, I'm on the road. I do music with a guy named Toby Mack. I do voiceover acting, which is extremely life-giving to me right now, and I love doing that. And so, yeah, man, we wear a lot of hats around here. I'm a dad. I'm a husband. Got three kids, three knuckleheads in the house right now, hoping they're not burning the place down.
So, I know, right? Well, you got to use that, I'm sure, during COVID. It's like, all right, whatever you guys are doing, you're doing. I got to let it go.
Bro, I was constantly looking for a cape for my wife. I'm like, she was the teacher. She was the mom. You know what I'm saying? So she was doing the whole thing.
All right, Gabe, I like to give people context if they don't know. So start me right here. Favorite video game of all time?
Final Fantasy VII.
Wow, look at that. No hesitation. I love it. I love it when people get on there, they hem and they haw. They don't have an answer. You're right there. Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, I started putting my flag in the sand a long time ago. I'm getting too old to be like, man, which genre? I mean, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of different. I'm like, nah. Final Fantasy VII, it came across the perfect time of life for me. I was in high school. I think I was a freshman in high school. And it just grabbed hold of me. It was the first time I played a game like that with such a deep story. And I fell in love with it.
What did you think of remake?
I loved it personally. Because I was like, okay, they can't just put out what was out and make it look pretty. I felt like for this new generation, they had to do, you know, they had to spice it up, and I thought they did great. And I really, really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed the Intergrade or Intermission or whatever the other one was called with Yuffie story. Yeah. Loved that. It was great being back in that world. So it was my game of the year that year. And so, yeah, I'm rocking with it. I'm here for it. Happy birthday, too. 25 years, right?
Look at that. Look at that. This guy's got it all down. He's a real Final Fantasy fan. Don't worry about that. And then what is your most anticipated game for this year?
That's Stop. Hard, man.
It's
That's
a big so year.
Tough. Yeah, I know. I'm still trying to get past this month. You know what I'm saying? Shoot. I mean, for me personally, I'm really looking forward to Sifu for whatever strange reason that thing is.
I mean, it looks awesome, right? That's the reason, right?
It looks amazing. And so I can't wait for that. You know, all this little God of War, you know, kind of rumblings and rumors about when that's. So, I mean, Sifu, though, I'm going to just say Sifu for right now. It's coming out this week or next week. And yeah, next week. And so I'm excited about that one. I'm going to go with that one for now.
Excellent choice. An excellent choice. But the question remains, will you get GTA 6 this year? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the fact that GTA 6 is real. New stuff's coming to GTA Online. Pokemon Legends Arceus is a hit. And then we have a PSVR 2 website. We'll get into all of that and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can write in with your questions, your comments, be a Patreon producer, get the show ad-free, get it with the exclusive post show we do each and every weekday. If that wasn't enough, you can get benefits like watching us record the XCast live today, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. But if you have no bucks to toss, it's no big deal. You, of course, can get the show, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every weekday for free. Of course, you have to listen to the ad. Of course, you don't get the post show, but you still have a good time. If that wasn't good enough for you, of course, you can support Kinda Funny by using our Epic creator code Kinda Funny whenever you make a purchase on the Epic Game Store. And if you aren't on the Epic Game Store ever, maybe use it in Fortnite, Rocket League, or wherever you're playing other Epic games. For now, though, let me give you some housekeeping. It is Friday, like I said. Of course, we're streaming all day here. We got stuff going on after this. Of course, if that was enough, the XCast is going there. But our good friend, the one, the only, Jeffy Grubb, Jeff Grubb from GamesBeat, is going to be streaming Pokemon on twitch.tv/JeffGrubb at 2 p.m. Pacific to raise money for his cousin whose daughter has cancer. He's asking all best friends to come on by, even if you can't donate, even if you can't hang out, just to say hey and show some support. So 2 p.m. Pacific, twitch.tv/JeffGrubb. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Gordon McGuire, James Davis, a.k.a. at James Davis Makes, Pranksky, Manny the Bagel Boy Sanchez, and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by DoorDash, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Six items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Gabe Patillo, you are here on the day we've been waiting for.
This is crazy.
Rockstar has broken their silence and actually talked kind of, sort of, maybe a little bit about Grand Theft Auto 6. We start our day over on Rockstar's news site, where they will talk about GTA Online first and a little bit more. So here we go. As we enter our third console generation, and with much more to come in 2022 and beyond, here's a look at just some of what's on the way. He's talking about GTA Online to start, or they are talking about GTA Online to start, right? This whole thing's centered around GTA Online. Sorry, I deleted that from the front, so that's why he's talking about the third console generation. I digress. Back to it. Okay. With the GTA 5 community stronger than ever, Grand Theft Auto 5 and Grand Theft Auto Online will come to PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X/S platforms this coming March 15th. That is a brand new release date, ladies and gentlemen, bringing the blockbuster open world experience to players on the latest hardware. We sincerely appreciate the entire community's support over the years as the game now heads into an unprecedented third console generation. Grand Theft Auto 5 and Grand Theft Auto Online for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X/X features new graphics modes with up to 4K resolution, up to 60 frames per second, texture and draw distance upgrades, HDR options, and ray tracing, as well as offering the technical advancements of the latest console generation with faster loading times, immersive 3D audio, platform-specific features like advanced haptic feedback, and much more. PS4 and Xbox One players eager to continue their journey on the newest generation of hardware will be able to transfer both their GTA 5 story mode progress and their current GTA Online characters and progression to PS5 and Xbox Series X/S with a one-time migration at launch. Plus, a new standalone version of Grand Theft Auto Online for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X/S will debut at launch, available for free for the first 3 months to PlayStation 5 players, making it easier than ever before for new players to experience everything Grand Theft Auto Online has to offer. Gabe, I'll stop right there. GTA Online, did it ever click for you?
It didn't for me, but I'll tell you this. Every time I saw something online, I was like, what is that?
It was always GTA Online.
Right.
I was like, wait, how did I miss this game? Oh, it's GTA Online. I've got a weird relationship with Grand Theft Auto because when 5 came out, my oldest child was really small. And I played video games in the bonus room, and I felt like I could never get in some GTA because I was constantly looking over my shoulder because something crazy was going on.
Sure. Right? Yeah. That's not the game you want your kid to walk in on for their first game.
No, it's not. And it was one of those things where GTA is always the game I point to, right? When people are like, really? A gamer? Like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, hey, man, look, this game made $1 billion in one weekend. Yeah. I don't want to hear it. You know what I'm saying? And so I love that this is coming, obviously, with all the upgrades and everything, and everything's carrying over, obviously. Could you imagine how heartbroken people would be if it didn't?
Yeah, years and years of progress.
Oh, my gosh. And so I think this is sick. I'm super excited to see what people continue to do, continue to make in online, and that just blows us away, you know?
Where do you think you'll fall with this? Does this get you excited to even try it? You know what I mean? It kind of is a fresh start here.
You got to try it.
Yeah,
I feel like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I might as well dive in now. I'm be way behind everybody else. But, you know, with the news that's coming up, I mean, it's hard not to want to get in there and at least dabble.
Kevin. Big dog Kevin Coelho. Can you hear me? Do you read me?
Yeah, I can hear you. What's up?
Infamously, you and I saw people playing GTA Online and we said, we should try this. We should commit to this. And for, I'd say, a week, we struggled and tried. Sure. And the load times, the cumbersome phone system. We even had people walking us through how to play it and what to do and where to go. We didn't have fun, and we stopped you.
Yeah. I remember, like, we had Peanut helping us, and it was still like, oh, this is weird. This doesn't usually happen to me. And it's like, this always happens to us every time, you know?
So the question becomes, Kevin, are we jumping back into GTA Online on March 15th.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh,
I'm excited, you know Kevin. I
mean? That's the thing. Like,
sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just like, I'll come back for a beating. You know,
here's the thing. Listen to this next paragraph, Kevin.
I'm excited.
GTA Online for PS5 and Xbox Series X also includes a range of improvements, including the ability to skip GTA 5 story mode prologue before entering online and an all-new GTA Online tutorial. New GTA Online players will now be able, will now enter the career builder with instant access to their choice of one of four illicit businesses: biker, executive, nightclub owner, or gun runner, and a sizable GTA Bucks windfall to help select a property, high-end vehicle, and the firepower required to kickstart their enterprise. Returning players will also have the option to restart their character and take advantage of all the career builder at any time. Kevin, this sounds exactly like what we need. I need a hand-holding, and I need a clear tutorial. That's the problem with GTA Online. It launched, you know, it was broken. I tried to play it at launch, I remember, on my PS3. Launched broken, Gabe. They then kept building cool things on top of it, but I don't know how to use any of it. I don't understand the basics of it.
Amen. A tutorial is more than welcome.
So, yeah, I'm Kevin, this sounds like what we need. This sounds like what we want.
I'm in. Sounds good.
Okay, good. I think I might be a nightclub owner, but I'll see. I've been watching a lot of Sopranos. That seems like something I could get in. You know what,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The PS5 and Xbox Series X/ versions of GTA Online will also include the new House Special Works Auto Shop located within the LS Car Meet, which will allow players to upgrade select vehicles, parentheses, five new vehicles and five existing vehicles at launch for elite driving performance that takes full advantage of the upgraded power of the new console hardware. I don't understand what that means, Gabe, but I know that they had a DeLorean that flew in GTA Online, and I need to get that.
Yeah, exactly.
I need to get that when that gets there, all right? Dude, so that's DeLorean's GTA Online in a nutshell. What's happening? Obviously, March 15th, a big deal. Obviously, GTA Online continues to make money hand over fist. And Gabe, I would be lying if when I got excited reading this, I didn't kick myself of, oh, right. And if I had been going into GTA Online for like the past, 8 months or whatever, I could have been getting $1 million a day or month right. through PS Plus. I'm like, fuck, I really should have done that.
Missed out on that one. Yeah,
I really should have done that, but it's too late now. And it doesn't matter because that's GTA Online. That's great. Whatever. Let's talk about what's next, because in the same blog post, they write what's next. With the unprecedented longevity of GTA 5, we know many of you have been asking us about a new entry in the Grand Theft Auto series. With every new project we embark on, our goal is always to significantly move beyond what we have previously delivered. And we are pleased to confirm that active development for the next entry in the Grand Theft Auto series is well underway. We look forward to sharing more as soon as we are ready, so please stay tuned to the Rockstar Newswire for official details. On behalf of our entire team, we thank you for all your support and cannot wait to step into the future with you. Gabe, it's a sentence that launched a million tweets. We are pleased to confirm that active development for the next entry of the Grand Theft Auto series is well underway. What do you think?
I think it's going to be one of those weird times that we're going to have a GTA 5 and GTA 6 in the top 10 selling games. You know what I'm saying? GTA 5 still pops in the top 10. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, I mean, I just can't even imagine with the longevity that we've had with GTA 5, what in the world you even do with GTA 6. If it's even called GTA 6, if it's not called GTA colon something, 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 you know what I mean? It's just so exciting.
And that's where it gets into this. I'm not a smart man, obviously, but where you get of how do you handle this, right? Where GTA Online is beloved by millions and has made Rockstar money hand over fist over and over again. I don't see how they would ever kill that golden cow. You know what I mean? Kill that golden goose.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, are they eventually going to do like whatever they're doing with the PS5 Series X version here of GTA Online? Is that going to be such a dramatic difference and run so much better that is what's going forward and they are just going to use that as a base? Because you would have thought, at least in traditional video game publishing, right, that GTA 5 came with GTA Online, so GTA 6 would come with GTA Online 2 or whatever it's going to be. But okay. I'm totally a novice at GTA Online. I have no idea what it looks like right now. We barely know what it's going to look like in March. So I'm not sure if that client will be to such a degree that is what's going to support the next 10 years of GTA Online or not.
Mm-hmm. You know what's crazy is that you know how we've kind of seen Warzone in the Call of Duty franchise kind of live a life while they release other Call of Duties?
For sure.
And so I wonder if that's something that they'll be able to do. Obviously, everything's got to step up and kind of be brought to modern tech, but I don't know how you get rid of GTA Online. You can't just say this is a new one now, right? I mean,
I think you have such an installed player base, you can't go. It's GTA Online 2. Not to mention that doesn't make sense when you look at a game like World of Warcraft, right?
When you look at say, people don't care about that, right?
Yeah, DC Universe Online, the way they do episodes and stuff like that.
Yes.
I don't know when you Rockstar looks at that and is like, we're going to transition over. So I'm really fascinated to see if GTA Online, PS5, Series X is such a step forward, is such a new beast that you're like, okay, I can see sinking all this time in there. Because there's going to be a wealth of content that I haven't played and then millions of others haven't played. So it does make sense that you launch GTA 6 and I've seen so many people going, maybe this year? Like, how far into development are they? They're finally confirming it, which Rockstar doesn't usually do, but then they're not confirming the usual Rockstar way of like, here's a flashy trailer. So it's like, where are we in terms of getting it? And when you get it, do you just get, inside a voucher code for GTA Online and a bunch of bucks, and that's where they start you?
I mean, that's what I would think they would have to do. You can't be like, here's a new thing with a whole brand new, I don't know, man. Like you said, when you bring up World of Warcraft, that's the exact same thing I was thinking. Was like, the people that love that, I mean, sure, do they want it to look better? But like, you would have to tear down the whole thing and rebuild the whole thing. And I just don't know if it would make any sense when it's like a truck of money dumping up, you know.
And again, it's the same thing, right? They're just going to keep growing. Like, if they can get me and Kevin to stay, and probably not, but even if they can get 3% of the new people who will try this, that, you know, it's free on PlayStation. Think about the amount of people who are going to jump into this that haven't played it or played it a long time ago and dropped out. Like, you're going to see a whole bunch
of age now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's some people that, you know, kids that weren't allowed to play that back then that are going to be able to play it this console generation. And so you have that install base as well.
So then, to pivot back to the next entry in the Grand Theft Auto series, what do you envision that being?
So the last one's a bunch of storylines, right?
Yeah.
This one's, I mean, it's got to be bigger, 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 better, right? You can't go backwards. We know that. And so it's, the sky's the limit, really, with GT. I mean, they have so much money, and they're so smart in the way they've done things that, shoot, man, I don't know if it ends up being more of a fully online thing than it is like a standalone story. It's almost impossible to call. I have no idea. I mean, I love story. I'm a story guy. And so
see, that's my thing, right? And that's why, like, don't get me wrong, a blessing out of OEA Jr., Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. the OK Beast, right? He adores GTA Online and still checks in and still plays here and there and stuff. And I would never want to take that away from anybody. But the success of GTA Online always was a bummer to me because I love single player GTA. GTA 5, I played like every other GTA ever played, where I played it, enjoyed it, put it down, and walked away. Whereas other people have stuck with it for online for so long that you get here, and it's like, I wonder what 6 would be. And like you said, the sky's the limit, right? Where my knee-jerk reaction, this removed from 5, is I think they would go back to a single protagonist. I think they would tell kind of story. Yeah, but you bring up that like online multiplayer, like I also could easily see that. But then it's also, how do you differentiate that from GTA Online, right? Because obviously with the stuff they just did with Dr. Dre and Franklin, like they're trying to show that we can still tell single player stories inside of this. We can still tell what you know from GTA. So I don't know how and why you go and tell. I feel like you have to have an identity to online. You have to have an identity to what comes next to GTA. And I would think if online's identity is you can play this with your friends and fuck around, then GTA 6's identity has to be that it is a single player story.
Right. And I mean, we've seen, Call of Duty tried it, right? They were like, no campaign. And I feel like people were like, I wasn't going to play the campaign anyway, but I like that it was there. Right. And so it's like, I don't think we're going to see them take that kind of step back because we saw Call of Duty put campaigns right back in their games. And so I think that with GTA 6, half of it is living through that lens as GTA's grown over the years, right? As being that bad guy and getting to go do all those things. And yes, GTA Online gives you that too. But I think there's something about the story that gets told, and it's a really good story usually, that I just don't see them not having it. They've got to have it. That's what I'd want to play. Because I'm with you online. I'd be walking around like, hello, and then get killed by somebody. And then
The thing where I think maybe knowing Rockstar and again, how they want to support GTA Online and keep that money going, I would be interested if there wasn't a multiplayer component to it, where when you play GTA 6, you're playing as the character, this protagonist, whatever, but maybe you have like goons for hire or whatever you want it to be, or whatever your criminal empire is, maybe just friends that you don't even need to explain, but you get to invite friends into the game that are their GTA Online characters. So they come in, they get an added bonus to run through and play that and help in your world, but then they go off, you know, they help you with the mission, then it's still you going through and getting the story of what it would be. But even saying that, I would be like, well, if I'm a hardcore GTA Online player, why wouldn't I want to be the goons to get the help with my main character, my main game? Like, there's got to be some trade-off there.
Yeah.
And I don't think taking your character and casting them in a single-player story would work as well, like you're talking about, because we want a great story. But that said, Like, you know, GTA 3 had a silent protagonist and it went pretty well for GTA 3. So
exactly.
Granted, things have changed, but maybe that would be the way to do it. I'm fascinated. I can't wait to see, you know, even if you don't care about GTA, there's no game release quite like a GTA.
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, as not a GTA guy, because of how, when this one came along, I played the other ones, but because of when this one came along in my life, it's still the game I point to. I'm like, yeah, but GTA. Yeah, but GTA, like, as you've watched them do these incredible, make these incredible numbers, you know, support this game for this long. I mean, that's crazy. Like you're saying, playing on the PS3, now we're at the PS5.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
That's how long this thing stuck around, right? And, and as if I needed to be reminded of how old I am, Charles Jacobson says, GTA 3 was also 21 years ago. I'm aware, Charles.
Oh, God.
I remember playing this in my dorm room at Mizzou, all right? I'm aware of how old GTA is and how old I am. And don't even get me started on GTA 2 and playing that while we're doing our backyard wrestling. I don't want to hear about it.
Of course. Right? People are like, GTA used to be top down. I'm like, you know what? Never mind. Don't worry about it.
GTA, man. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Like, there will never be another, like, video game world-stopping moment for me as a kid, as when I opened up, it must have been EGM, but maybe it was GamePro, and they had the first screenshots of GTA, and it was, you know, the guy running around and showing, and I was like,
you just see his legs,
like it's gonna be this open world sandbox. I was like, what, like, how can they pot, and what, like, because we were playing GTA London or whatever, it was like, how can they take that and put us on the street and let us have buildings to go in and cars to steal and do all this different stuff?
That's like the first time I snatched somebody out of a car and then took that car and kept driving. I was like, I've arrived. I'm doing my thing right now. I felt, that was
awesome. I remember for the release of Vice City, my friend was playing, his band was playing at a bar or whatever. And so my other friends were like, are you going to go or whatever? And I was like, I might, but this game, Grand Theft Auto Vice City, comes out that day. So if it's really good, I won't come. And the only other friend who was like in the know was like, he's not coming, is what he said. Like, there's no way that game's bad. He's not leaving the house. Don't
you
worry
skip
about
stuff.
It.
There's some games you skip stuff for.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Of course. That was definitely one of them. Another game people seem to be skipping stuff for, Gregway, Pokemon Legends. Let's talk about the numbers for Pokemon Legends Arceus in America. They are as big as you'd expect, especially after talking about Japan yesterday, but we'll get to that. Nintendo of America tweeted today, maybe last night, actually. Thank you to the more than 6.5 million explorers worldwide who have already embarked on an exciting new adventure in Pokemon Legends Arceus. We hope you're loading up on more potato mochi before you head out into the research mission. It's a joke. I'm playing it, so I get that reference. Don't worry.
Oh, look at you. Sorry.
No big deal. Are you playing the Pokemon?
No, but I play Pokemon.
Do you ever play the Pokemon?
I used to want to play the Pokemon. I want my kids to play Pokemon, really. The last Pokemon game I sunk a lot of time into was actually Pokemon Quest. My kids loved watching me play Pokemon Quest. Do you remember that one? It was like everything was really huge pixels. They were you're square and you're running around and you're collecting Pokemon. And that actually really taught me a lot about Pokemon because I wasn't in that world before that. But my kids loved, and they were always telling me which Pokemon to bring with me to fight and everything that. And then they've dressed up as Pokemon trainers for Halloween and stuff like that. So I want them to play, but only one of them can read. And so until they're fully voice acted, my younger ones won't be able to play it.
Yeah, he's got like the sacred texts, you know, he's going to read it to the rest of the kids, just do it in the living room.
Yes, that's right.
So that's a huge number, obviously. We talked a little bit about Japan's numbers yesterday. I want to bring in Jeffrey Rousseau over at GamesIndustry.biz, who writes, the latest installment of the Monster Catching franchise reached the sales milestone, the 6.5 million, within a week after launch. The sales units for Legends represents both digital and boxed copies. By comparison, 2019's Pokemon Sword and Shield sold 6 million copies during its release window, whereas 2021's Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl worldwide sales also reached the same amount week after launch. So again, 6 million is what they're talking about 2019, 2021. We're talking about 6.5 million for Pokemon Legends Arceus. If that wasn't enough, we could go in here a little bit further. Earlier this week, Legends was reported to have moved 1.43 million boxed units in Japan, becoming the second best-selling Switch game released in Japan. Within the UK, the newest Pokemon title was the fourth biggest Pokemon retail launch of all time. This is the ending one, and I think it's the most important. In addition, Pokemon Legends Arceus reaches its sales achievement being a single version of the game.
Right.
Being a single version. So we were talking about 2019's Pokemon Sword and Shield, 6 million. 2021's Pokemon Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl, 2021. Remember, those are the two different versions of the game.
Right.
If you're a hardcore Pokemon person, you either buy both or you trade with your friends or whatever. We're talking about Arceus doing more than both those games in its first week with one version of the game. That's outrageous.
I think, too, one of the things that it always comes to mind when you see these kind of numbers is not only is it one version of the game, yeah. it's also one console. This is not like other games that come out and boast these sales numbers. Sure. They're selling on PlayStation and they're selling on Xbox. You know what I'm saying? This is like just Nintendo, just this one game.
Yeah, and I mean, again, for the context you're giving, right, it's so great. Yeah, not cross-platform or multi-platform, not that. But even to compare it to a PlayStation thing, like look at like when PlayStation celebrated Ghost of Tsushima recently in the past couple months for $8 million. And then how long has that game been out? We're talking about that kind of thing. You're talking about 6.5 in a week. In a week, exactly. Right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and of course, if you weren't... Insane. Yesterday we were talking, you know, about Nintendo sales numbers, and then of course what that meant for best-selling Nintendo games. Yesterday we read from Matt Perslow, right, who put out that Pokemon Legends Arceus may be on track to be the second fastest-selling Switch game. That read, of course, Arceus is the second fastest-selling Switch game in Japan and stands a chance of achieving the same accolade globally. And then he goes through the same figures we just did for Japan in comparison, the same figures in Japan is ahead of there. And then you look over here to like the top 10, right, where you can already see the heat being applied and where this is going to go. Oh. If you missed yesterday's Games Daily before I had to leave, maybe you left after I left because, you know, why would you stick around when I'm not there? I understand. But the top 10 looks like this for Nintendo best-selling Nintendo Switch games of all time, right? At the top, and I'm not going to go through every number for you, but at the top is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe with 43.35 million copies sure. sold, right? Right underneath that is Animal Crossing, then it's Smash Brothers, then it's Breath of the Wild, then at number 5, Sword and Shield. Then at number 6, Mario Odyssey. Number 7, Mario Party. Number 8, Let's Go Pikachu. Let's Go Eevee. And then at number 9, Diamond Shining Pearl. And then at 10, Ring Fit Adventure. Ring Fit Adventure is on there at 13.53 million. Meaning that its time is up, motherfucker. Like, it is not long for this world.
11, yeah. You know, it's just so crazy because, you know, you hear people say, like, you know, because that top 10 you just listed, we know all those games. These are not the first time those games have come out. These, you know, like Mario Kart was the 8th or 10th one, really, how depending on how you're counting. And and you're like, I don't mind them going back to the well personally. I know people are like, you need something new. You need something new. I know your homie was saying the other day how Mario is undefeated. Like, you know, Mario's just always going to be the biggest thing in gaming. And I think Nintendo, as special as I think they are, because I think they're a special group, I think they're doing it right and they're killing it for themselves. I think at the end of the day, let's say every console went away and everything went to streaming, there's still going to be a Nintendo console.
For sure.
You know what I mean? That's what I think about Nintendo. And I my hat is tipped to them. It's not the place I play the most, but it's the place I like playing the most, if that makes sense. Like, to be playing Rocket League in the bed is the best. You know what I mean?
You know, I think it's funny that I remember the PS3, 360, Wii generation, right? And being there and having these conversations about, like, well, is Nintendo going to be able to stay? Like, what are they going to do? Like, it doesn't have the visuals. It doesn't have the HD. It doesn't have online. It doesn't have, you know, an Ethernet port as we started going that way.
Doesn't matter.
And it was really not the first instance by any stretch of the imagination, but I would say the first mainstream in terms of main home consoles break where Nintendo really was like, no, you haven't been listening, you haven't paid attention to the DS, you haven't paid attention to the other weird things we are doing. Like, we're not that company. We're not going to compete with PlayStation and Xbox. And so many right. of us thought at the time it was kind of a death sentence that you're going out there, you'll have no third-party support, whatever's going to happen. And I mean, as you look at the Wii, it became filled with shovelware. Then you got the Wii U, which was just a terrible console in terms of that, how they use a controller. I know their games were great, I'm not trying to make that comment, but like, it looked like, okay, this is actually going to pan out. And then to have the Switch be such an amazing read on a place where you're like, handheld gaming is dead. Look at the Vita. It sucks. It's giving HD and all this, and nobody cares about it. It's done, and blah, blah, blah. Like, for them to be like, we're going to double down on this and make the Switch be our hybrid home console and handheld. And they made it work, and they made it a huge success. And now you see that attach rate, right? Because, again, the numbers we're going through with Mario Kart 8 Deluxe at the top of the list, 43.35 million, right? That is riding off the back that Nintendo has – the Switch has officially passed 100 million sold, right? Lifetime sales are now at 103.54 million as of December 31st. Like, that's a pretty great attach rate right there. What you know, I'm playing loosely, but 40% of your audience is buying this game.
That's a lot. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I feel like I made the mistake of is comparing Nintendo and Sony and Microsoft.
For sure.
Oh, they're not going to be able to keep up. And I was like, oh, it wasn't until like maybe the last 4 years when I was like, oh, they're not playing the same game. Yeah. That's what's going on. Maybe Sony and Microsoft were, even though they look like they're distancing from playing the same game either. But Nintendo's not been playing that game. And so, you know, as we're talking about the top 10, you look at top 10 consoles ever sold, like you're running about them passing the Wii, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And they've got like five consoles in the top 10 or something crazy like that, you know, including handheld. And you're like, they're killing it. You know, what was I thinking? I can't say we, but what was I thinking that they were supposed to be competing with Sony and Microsoft when they're not playing the same game as them?
And that's why it works. You know, it's what you talked about of like, you know, Mario's King, but it's the place you enjoy playing or whatever. It's this idea that you know what you're getting from Nintendo. I think when you buy a PlayStation, when you buy an Xbox, there are certain foregone conclusions you make of what you're going to be able to play on there. And it's why the Bethesda deal is a big shakeup. I can't play Starfield on my PlayStation. It's why, you know, as they PlayStation snaps up Bungie, what does this mean for Destiny? You start getting into these things. Whereas Nintendo, like, they make, you know, what we call the WNDs here, weird Nintendo decisions. But that's Nintendo. I mean, the fact that they've never, like, really fixed online, and I know it's gotten a little bit better, but it's not comparable to what you're doing on PlayStation or Xbox.
Never close.
And we all thought that was, you're getting left in the behind. That's the, you know what I mean? You're acting like this is not what modern gaming is. And they're like, well, we're not really that kind of modern gaming. And it worked.
And I feel like, too, you know, when you buy a PlayStation or you buy an Xbox, you maybe have in the back of your mind two or three games that you know are coming to that console or that you hope are coming. With Nintendo, the way they've done it, you know that there's 10 games that are probably coming that you absolutely know. And I think it's like you're saying, at least you know what you're getting with Nintendo. Yes, they make decisions that I'm like, what in the world? Like, you know, the fact that, you know, Reggie made it and wasn't, you know, didn't come out with a cigarette in his mouth every single time he had to come on stage and announce something. You know, like, y'all, I know, I'm just saying, listen. But, I mean, they're absolutely killing it, and I can't hate on Nintendo, and I get that they do weird things like you're saying, but woo-wee, you can't argue with those numbers.
Exactly, and it's that thing where I think they've done such a great job of setting what their expectations are, and obviously there are Nintendo fans who live, breathe, die by the Switch. They're on it every day. I am not one of those, but I don't look at my Switch. I bought the OLED in October, right, which was a terrible idea because I think it arrived like the day before my son was born. Like, I buy this thing, and it's like, when we got back during paternity leave, I turned it on to go get the coffee shop in Animal Crossing, right? And I turned it on, and I was like, all right, fuck, I got to check in, and then tomorrow the coffee shop will be built. Turned it off, and I never turned it back on, and I didn't use it until Pokemon. And it's that thing of, it sits over there and I don't regret purchasing it. I know, like you're saying, that like doesn't matter because Breath of the Wild is coming. I didn't expect Legends here, Arceus, to be something I connected with, and after an hour and a half of playing, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get back to this. Like, it's, they make these games that I think for me personally, I go through a lull of not using the Switch, and then I use it really hard for, you know, a month or two at a time. And I'm fine with that cadence. I know that cadence because that's what Nintendo's always been for me.
And for some reason, I shut down and don't play other games while I'm playing Nintendo games. Like, I just noticed, like, I just beat, I was late to the party, I just beat Metroid Dread, like, maybe 2 weeks ago. And I noticed that, and I don't know if it's because, and I know you could change it, but I know maybe it's because of the confirm and decline switched. But I noticed that I just dove into Metroid, and that was all I played until it was over. Yeah. Where, you know, I'll hop around and Call of Duty and Far Cry, and you know, play a little, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy or something like that. But yeah, Nintendo just grabs my attention. I've never regretted buying it, not a day.
Well, I'm sure whenever they put out whatever the next version of the Switch is, we'll all buy it, because that's what we do around here, right?
That's right, yeah.
Absolutely. Speaking of the next version of something, number three on the Roper Report, let's talk about PSVR 2. It's kind of a non-issue or non-story you'd think, but I think there's more to it, and so does IGN Associate Tech Editor Taylor Lyles. I digress. The PSVR 2 website is live, Kevin, if you can toss it up there and show it off. It is a slick, polished version of the website talking about what PlayStation VR 2 is. It still does not show what PlayStation VR 2 is. We do not know what the headset looks like. Of course, at CES, we had another announcement of PlayStation VR 2, all the details. Those details are laid out here, of course, 4K HDR display, eye tracking, inside-out tracking. This stuff we've already talked about. No, however, what Taylor from IGN, of course, who popped up on our PSVR 2 PS I Love You XOXO episode and was fantastic on it, points out is that they now are talking about what kind of eye tracking they're using. Before they had said, oh, we're gonna have eye tracking, which we all understood to be okay, cool, it's gonna, you know, as you look around it'll do it. They're using the foveated rendering, Yeah. I don't know what that means. They just drop it in here. And so Taylor gave me this explanation because she knows I'm a big idiot. Foveated rendering is a technique that will improve the visuals on the VR headset, meaning it boosts the resolution on whatever it is you are looking at and focus in that direction. Again, they talked about eye tracking. I made the comment at the time, I think on the PS I Love You, about it reminds me a lot of Horizon, where when Horizon Zero Dawn had launched, they eventually did a behind the scenes where when you spin the camera, whatever's behind you is no longer there. They're focusing all the rendering power on what you're looking at. So it's as high def as Horizon was. Same idea here. Now we know it's using the foveated rendering technique.
Well, of course.
Of course. What else would you use for eye tracking, Gabe?
Were you an idiot?
As a member of McDonald's University. Where are you with PlayStation VR 2? Is this something that's on your hype list?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm super hype about it. And I started thinking about it because, of course, I want to see what it looks like. But, Greg, you care what it looks like?
Oh, no.
Yeah, me either. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's one of the things with virtual reality. It's one of the few things that you don't see while you're playing it. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I've got my PS5 sitting over there or laying over there. And, oh, I can see it and it blends in with my room or whatever the freak. But, like, I don't care what it looks like. I want to see what it looks like because I'm curious. But, man, I am on the train. I love it. I've got a PSVR. I've got the Oculus. And the eye tracking thing, you know, it's funny. I thought of it as a totally different way. I'm glad that we got some clarification here. I always thought, like, oh, I wonder if that would help with motion sickness. You know what I'm saying? Like, we always kind of just had our head to move around. I wonder if when your eyes are moving around in there, if that would help with that feeling.
It very much might be, because you figure it would be the same thing. If you're getting the most detail where you're looking, that should help the blurry edges, blurry, like whatever. And everybody gets motion sick a bit different in VR. But for certain people, for sure, I think it would help out.
Yeah, so I'm loving it. I actually like that there's still a cord. One of the reasons. Yeah, you're a psychopath. I know.
And this episode is over. Goodbye.
Exactly. See ya. Thanks for having me. No, but one of the reasons is because I really enjoy, again, I have a family of five. And so I really enjoy everybody getting to experience what the person in the, what we always call it, the VR hat gets to experience. And I noticed that with the Oculus, you know, when I'm casting, it's behind. My kids love Beat Saber. And so when we're hearing them play it and what we get from the TV is totally different. Sure, and so I really like playing games with my daughter and, you know, being able to point things out and she'd be like, over there, over there. And so that's the only reason I like that there's a cord. So that is probably a lag-free experience when it's going
for me. It's like, to your point, do I care what it looks like? No, I'm excited to see it when they show it, whatever. I'm more interested in form factor, in how heavy it'll be, all that stuff. Absolutely. Right. Because I think Oculus Quest and Oculus Quest 2 are just so great. They feel great. They just feel great on your head, right? And not that PSVR doesn't. It felt great when it launched. I think just as VR has advanced, you've seen it get, oh man, now what used to be cool and like ergonomic about the PSVR 2 is now clunky compared to these other units.
Absolutely.
So what is this
breakout
one look like?
Box and all those cords?
And so like the, you know, the cord I feel is a bummer, but I also don't think the tech's there to not have the cord. Because I for what PlayStation wants to do, and again, you know, we talk about this, I feel like every episode when we talk about PlayStation Studios, right? PlayStation Studios is known for AAA games that look great. And so I don't think they're ready to sacrifice that ground by saying, okay, cool. Right. It's wireless, which means it looks on a little bit better than PlayStation VR, but it doesn't look amazing. I think they, especially when you go into the resolutions and stuff they're tossing out here, the 4K gaming, they're trying to make this look as good, and they won't be, but as good as they can compared to a PlayStation 5 game you're getting on your huge TV.
Yeah, I mean, this will definitely be a pre-order for me probably, and I've enjoyed virtual reality way more than I thought I would. Like, you know what I'm saying, as a kid coming up and everything was just a big cube, you know what I'm saying? Your gun was a cube, the thing was a cube, the thing you were shooting at was a cube, you know? And I mean, we just come exactly freaking cubes. And so I think this is, I love that it's stepping in this direction. I love that they're making a second one, honestly.
The question then becomes, Gabe, when will you be able to actually wear the PlayStation VR 2? When do you think it comes out?
When does it come out? When do I get to wear it? You know what I'm saying? So it's two different questions.
I'm sure you'll be right there to pre-order at 5 a.m. or whatever it is while every Amazon's burning down and everything's going crazy.
Yeah, every server is on fire. Yeah. Shoot, man. I mean, I hope that holiday this year we get to start touching it. I don't know if it'll come out holiday this year, but you know, kind of how they did with PSVR with Best Buy, where you could go and try it out, you know, before it came out. I'm hoping that by the holiday, because it's the best time to obviously be buying stuff for people. So yeah, I'm hoping holiday we get to get our hands on it.
I mean, This is a question that goes around and around, and we've done it so many times where I can obviously, yeah, you're talking about it now. You're, and I mean now being CES and then now putting up the website. The website pushes it forward that even Taylor herself, again, from IGN, tweeted, this is the website is giving me PSV, PlayStation 5 vibes again. Where Sony logo dropped the PS5 at CES 2020. Then in February, the website for PS5 launched, parentheses, with no real look at the PS5, just to give a brief timeline of it all. I don't know. This is kind of giving me more hints that a late 2022 release is plausible.
Yeah, and I think
I want to believe that, but I don't. Like, I just with like what you're talking about is like it's still pandemic central out here, so you can't go and put it into Best Buy and have people putting it on and taking it off and doing this thing because then you got to have somebody there staffing and wiping and doing everything, which I think they kind of did the first time around. But it's way more like, are you ready to shove your head into this thing after a stranger shoved their head into it? And like, don't get me wrong, different parts of the country, different answers to that question. There's a lot of places where people are like, I don't give a shit, put it on. Cough in my mouth. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Can I borrow your mask?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I definitely think that I hope that by summer we get to see it.
Yeah.
But I do think, man, by fall, and obviously we don't know what Omarion is going to do with this COVID thing and all that, but like hopefully, sorry, that's what we call it in our house, Omicron or whatever. Well, I don't know what that's going to happen.
I was like, I nodded. I'm like, I don't know that variant.
Oh, no. Yeah. Sure, we don't know what's going to happen by this fall, but I'm just hoping against hope that by fall we feel 70% normal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, yeah, it's going to be a little weird, but at least it's just my eyes, hopefully. You know what I'm saying? Cover my nose and mouth. I can still have my mask on.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be fascinating because I think, you know, there's a world where, sure, they put out this, but it's, and I go back to the fact that they still can't, they've just lowered the forecast of how many PS5s are going to have out. This is a PS5 exclusive piece of tech. So does it, then I'm like, well, you know, if you don't have that many PS5s out, do you really want to sell an accessory for the PS5? But then I guess for one that's going to be such a niche market, does that even matter? Because like everybody, not everybody, but assumedly the majority of people who have PS5s are hardcore PlayStation fans who would be like the audience for a hardcore PlayStation device.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I feel like over the last couple of years, we've seen this switch as we're seeing it this year to February, March being this ginormous time of things being released. So I could definitely see us, you know, seeing it this year. And if it came out in March of next year, that wouldn't surprise me.
We will wait and see, ladies and gentlemen. We will wait and see and keep you posted here on Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, if you want to be part of the show, you can go patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give us your questions, your comments, your concerns. Be a Patreon producer. Get the show with the exclusive post show we do. And of course, get the show ad-free. Speaking of ads, Greg Way, here's a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. If you've been listening to any Kind of Funny podcast, you know that we absolutely love using DoorDash. It's so great. It's so simple to just be able to order whatever food we want and then have it delivered right to our house, along with the restaurants you love. You can now get groceries and other essential items delivered with DoorDash. You can get some drinks, snacks, and other household items in under an hour. With over 300,000 partners, you can support your neighborhood go-tos. We're always talking about Volcano Curry in San Francisco, of course. Ordering is easy, and your items will be left outside your door when you choose contactless delivery drop-off, whether it is the local favorites or the nationwide chains, like things like Popeyes, Cheesecake Factory, all of that. For a limited time, y'all can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code KINDAFUNNY. That's 25% off up to a $10 value and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code KINDAFUNNY. Don't forget, that's code KINDAFUNNY for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change, terms apply.
Number four on the Roper Report, I won't lie, I kind of put it in here when I was assembling this show, and I was like, does this need to be here? I don't know, but we'll put it in. We'll have a quick conversation and move about it, all right? Naughty Dog's hiring for a ton of roles. There's a tweet here, Kevin, if you want to click on it. I didn't highlight it for you, sorry. But basically, Naughty Dog says, we're hiring. Check out Naughty Dog's open positions for February. NaughtyDog.com/careers #gamejobs. And then a bunch of stuff's put up there. It came to my feed when the one, the only Neil Druckmann, who many of you know from The Last of Us TV show, he is, of course, a director on that. A lot of people didn't know that Neil actually made some games at Naughty Dog before then. He had quote tweeted this and said, we're growing. Come join us and work on, and then the silent emoji, then the zipper face emoji, and then and the hand over the mouth emoji. So, like, are they working on three games? Do we want to jump to that conclusion, internet?
Bro,
I'll leave it to you.
That's the first thing I thought. I was like, that seems like a lot of people. And, you know, we know that, you know, devs you know, blow up in size as sure. they kind of come to the end of a game and they shrink back in size. And so, you know, looking at this, and man, I tell you what, anything that's got Naughty Dog's name on it is exciting. I mean, as a voiceover actor, like, that's like, you know, one of the top of the mountains. You're like, man, if I could even be an additional voice in a Naughty Dog game, that'd be sick. And so seeing this and seeing all those people, and then you're like, okay, well, what do we know? Shoot, okay, what are they working on? And then to be like, we're working on Shush Zipper, you're like, I just want to know. Because Naughty Dog, when's the last time they put out something that wasn't quality?
Exactly.
It's not been recent. And so, yeah, you're thinking, like, how many things are they working on at once to be hiring this many people? It's insane.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, hopefully they're doing three games. I don't have confirmation on that, of course. Mm-hmm. Mr. Druckmann rarely confirms that kind of stuff to me. But in the chat, we have someone from Naughty Dog, apparently. D. Pemberton Jr. just said, join us. We're making very cool stuff. At which point you go, all right, is this just some troll? And you click through to his Twitter his Twitch profile, which then takes us to his Twitter profile. And there it is. Derek Pemberton Jr., associate game designer at Naughty Dog. Tweeting about games. His opinions are his own, it says on Twitter. So based on your opinions being your own, Derek, you can now confirm in chat if it is three games you're working on. Because that's just your opinion. That's not anybody else's. Go ahead and do that.
Exactly.
Just let us know. Just let us know what else is going on. You know what? How's that? Here's what I want you to do.
I won't tell nobody.
Put in a one if Factions is coming out this year. Just put in there. No, well, chat be cool. Audience be cool.
Yep.
I've just made sure he never ever talks in chat again. No, but if you're not an audio listener or something, so they have animation, art, audio, communications, editorial, game design, HR, lighting and visual effects, production, programming, quality assurance, recruiting, technical art, UI, jobs, and then multiple bullet points of underneath all of those, with the exception of HR, which is just one. Of course, what's interesting about that when you jump over to programming, right, is of course they have game team, but a game team is single player, game team is also multiplayer. There's obviously, we know they're working on something multiplayer over there. We've known about that for a while. Is that Factions 2 or whatever they're going to call Last of Us is whatever they end up doing that? Who knows? Maybe something different. You go to game design, it's the same thing there. Senior level entertainment, senior level environment designer, multiplayer, senior level environment designer, single player. So they go back and forth all over that stuff. So again, not much to read. Oh, Derek saying my lips are sealed. He didn't put a one or a two in there. Then he uses the Greg emoji for slab, I guess. Yeah, there's Naughty Dog's hiring for a lot. Most video game studios are hiring for a lot, but it's cool to see it out there. Maybe they're working on three games. Maybe they're working on just two. Maybe they're working on none. Maybe there's hiring people there saying, hey.
I know you say most are hiring, but most are not Naughty Dog.
Great point.
You know what I'm saying? Goodness gracious. Oh, I'm excited. Whatever it is, I'm playing it. I don't care.
That's the thing. It's even, you know what I mean? We know about the rumor of them taking back over the Last of Us remake. We know about Factions. You know, there's always things getting kicked around. And selfishly, I think I'd be most stoked for a new IP. Not Last of Us, not Uncharted. What do you got? What do you got?
Absolutely something new. I mean, they're amazing at telling stories. To have another amazing story by Naughty Dog out there would not hurt my feelings at all. Now, of course, being back in some worlds, you know, be nice and, you know, kind of like I was talking about with Final Fantasy earlier with Intergrade. It was great being back in there. Man, if you're going to give me another, you know, 12 to 25 hour story, ooh-wee, I just can't. You know, it's like when Quantic Dream said they're doing something. I'm like, yeah,
Star Wars.
It is. Yeah, Star Wars. When I saw their name come up with the Star Wars, I was like, I almost did a lap around the house.
So, it was unexpected, to say the least. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, snap. And so, yeah, I'm super excited. Naughty Dog, do your thing, baby. I'm here for it. I got your $70 waiting.
Number five on the Roper Report. The Saudi government has invested in Capcom and Nexon. This is Matthew Martin and Geroid Rady over at Bloomberg. Saudi Arabia's sovereign wealth fund deepened its bet on video games, fresh from a face-saving deal that turned around its investment in Activision Blizzard Incorporated. The public investment fund disclosed stakes of more than 5% in two Japan-listed gaming firms, Capcom, the maker of Street Fighter and Resident Evil franchises, and online games provider Nexon. Its combined holdings in the two firms are now worth more than $1 billion. The PIF, as the $500 billion fund is known, has been building up stakes in video game makers and esports over the past 2 years. Its purchase of about 37.9 million shares in Activision Blizzard Incorporated, which it began acquiring in late 2020, was losing money until Microsoft agreed to buy out the studio behind the Call of Duty series. The PIF said the purpose of both holdings was, quote, pure investment. And the filing showed the latest purchases were made in the market from January 25th to January 31st. The Saudi fund also has stakes in Electronic Arts and Take Two Interactive. Chaired by the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salam, the public investment fund has earmarked about $10 billion to buy global stocks based on the thematic strategy that focuses on areas including e-commerce and renewables. People familiar with the matter said last month. I stumbled through a lot of that. I put it in there because I was like, oh man, that's interesting. I did not realize I missed the EA Take Two thing, let alone the Activision thing, let alone that this was happening.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. You know, I mean, shoot, you know, Capcom's one of those names that's been floating out there when people are like, ooh, who else is Sony going to buy? And so, you know, it's just, it's crazy seeing their name in the story. And listen,
I mean, I wonder with that one, if they're like, they see that and they're like, you know what, buy that. So we try to make out like we do with Activision. Buy those shares now. So when somebody buys them, we get the, you know, the.
Right. And I mean, I think gaming's a good bet. But I'm a gamer and I love video games. And so, but listen, you're not about to put money into music. You're not about to put money into Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because shoot, who even wants to go to the theater right now? And everything's going streaming and all this stuff. And so I think it's a good bet. And I love that we're seeing other people, even if it is just business, just purely investment. Hey man, invest away and they can make better games. And I think as a gamer, we're going to be the ones that win out in this.
For sure. Yeah, obviously. Fascinating moves over there. And I had totally missed this PIF. I want to look more into that too, because that's just an interesting thing. I can't imagine it going well if America was like, all right, we're setting aside $500 billion and we're going to invest that at will. Like, all right, well, you're going to be stuck on the Senate floor forever and no one's going to let anything happen. But great.
Cool. Exactly right. And it's just numbers that like aren't even like remotely relatable to me. Oh, yeah, there's $500 billion just sitting around.
Of course. You know what whatever. We're just kicking that around. Just kicking it around, trying to do
as we see the acquisitions from last week, you know, don't even equal 90. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. And then sixth and final on Europa Report for this Friday is, yo, how big that Steam Deck? This is Billy Gibbons over at GameSpot. Kevin, this is another link I'd like you to pull up. Billy Gibbons put up an article that just says, Steam Deck may be larger than you realize. Yeah. One YouTuber compared Valve's new handheld to past devices, and the results are eye-opening. And then he's got a bunch of screenshots here from YouTuber Carrie Gallome, the Fox. And you can see it compared to a Vita right there. And that is ginormous compared to a Vita. But I understand none of you bought a Vita, so you don't know what that looks like. So the next one is, let's compare it to a Switch OLED, which is ginormous compared to... Oh, can you go to the Switch OLED? Sorry, while I'm talking about that, Kev. No, it should be... Oh, you're in the thread. I'm still in the article. Go back to the article. Okay, there you go. There's the Switch OLED. You see a big system, a big screen on the Switch OLED, dwarfed by the Steam Deck here. And then,
get to the controllers.
You can scroll at will if you want, yeah, Kev, because the next one in the article is a Wii U controller, which obviously makes that one look like a toy. But then, hold on, I'm sorry. It already looked like a toy because that's how it always looked. Stupid ass piece of goddamn tech. This is a fun one just to look at and go and marvel at. I cannot wait to hold the Steam Deck. How heavy is this thing, Gabe?
9 pounds. I'm just kidding. You know, it's one of those things where I was really slow to this one. I was like, I don't want to do this. That thing looks super heavy. And as I kept seeing it, I was like, that's a good point. That's a good point. Oh, shoot. That's a good point. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm like all in and I want to get what I tried to get on there the day that they did the pre-orders and couldn't grab one. But man, oh man, I'm more excited about it now. I mean, I'm 1,000 times more excited than when they first announced it. I thought it was going to be a terrible idea. Not a terrible idea, but I didn't know if the implementation was going to be any good. And then part of my brain was like, I'll just wait till the Steam Deck 2. Then it'll be a little bit more, the form function will be a little better. It'll be a little skinnier. But man, I might want to be on the front end of this thing because it looks awesome.
Now you're going to be so stuck back, you'll never get there with pre-orders being all locked up the way they are.
Exactly.
I hemmed and hawed, and then like I was talking to my wife about it, right? Because like I am not a PC gamer, but one of the reasons I'm not a PC gamer is the fact that this is my workstation. I don't want to sit here and play games at it. Mm-hmm. And so like, how can I complain if I have a handheld that is, you know, obviously ginormous here, but like I love my Switch so much for the exact reasons you were talking about, of being able to play games in bed or do whatever and blah blah. So like the next indie sensation or whatever I want to play on it, can I do that? And so
absolutely,
you know, I pulled the trigger, I pre-ordered, and I'm still going to be waiting, I think, to whatever, I think it's this quarter or next quarter, Q2, I forget what it is now for me. I'll look it up while you talk, but like,
because it comes out this month, I think, right at the end of, is it end of February does the Steam Deck launch?
I think that's right, but I only care about me. So I mean, you know, it's late, whenever it is. You know,
yeah, exactly. No, I feel you. Yeah, it's one of those things where, so the Switch, I have really big hands. And so the Switch is actually small in my hand. So that was actually one of the things that I was like, okay, well, with this thing being a beast, I was like, maybe this will fit in my hands a little better. And then, you know, I've definitely dropped my phone on my face in bed. So I don't know how this is going to go, but I'm really excited to try it out and get my hands on it because I think it is going to be better than I had first anticipated. What's the first game you're playing on it when you get yours?
Well, that's the whole thing. Every time I start talking positively about the Steam Deck, you know, the people in the comments, understandably so, are like, well, be careful. You know, not everything plays on it. Not everything works on it. The Steam OS and that thing. It's like, I am buying this very much like I bought the Switch, where it's like, I don't expect to play every game on this thing. I expect to have a few things that I've missed because they are PC or things I want to go back to and play on a PC and play them that way. So like, it is very much like, I don't even know. I guess when I bought the Quest, I got the Quest as a review unit, but it was very much putting it on and be like, all right, what's on here? What is there to play kind of thing? I'm not like, it's not like when I bought the OLED and I was like, Animal Crossing. And I was like, I'm kind of tired of Animal Crossing. Metroid Dread. All right, fine, this thing.
Yeah.
What about you? Is there something you're like, I can't wait to play in bed?
Oh man. Shoot. With it being so heavy, I was like, I'm probably going to play this thing on the couch. I don't want to drop it. I'm scared to drop it. But I think,
by the way, I asked earlier, I'm a bit facetiously, but Nanobiologist is always there with the facts. The Steam Deck weighs 1.47 pounds, over double the weight of the Switch OLED. Because 1.4, you're like, or 1.47, you're like, ah, it's not that bad. But then it's like, what is it going to feel like this, though? And not even this. Like this. Like, how is that going to feel? I don't know.
That's right. It's like doing push-ups. The further out you get, you're like, oh, shoot. And so, yeah, we'll see how it goes. You know, I think I'll end up dipping back and play a bunch of games that I've played before. Because like you, I'm not a huge PC gamer. And when I do play something on the PC, it's usually a callback. It's not something new. And so I probably will like reach back and see how it does with, by the time I get it, how it does with The Witcher or something like that. You know what I mean? And end up playing that handheld, because how dope would that be? And I know I think it's streaming on the Switch, but I don't trust streaming, so I haven't tried it.
No, I think Witcher's native. It's native, and that was one of the things that it just...
Oh, that's right. They upgraded it. That's right. Yeah. What was I thinking of? Cyberpunk?
Control streaming on the Switch.
And so, yeah, I think I'll probably dip back, because I never made it to Skellige, because I got so caught up in playing that doggone card game in Witcher 3. Yep. I'll probably dip back and play something old.
Yeah, for me, it was just in general, I was like, I'm not leaving this area until I do every question mark. And then that's why I put 35 hours into Act 1. And I'm like, I got to move on to a different game.
That's how I felt, too.
Yeah.
I was like, I got to talk about video games, man. I can't just be playing this one all this year.
Gabe, I'm excited to see you talk about things you see on the Switch Deck. But the release of the Steam Deck so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shop, where would we go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Shout out to you for knowing and remembering you had to read that part. Because what's great about this, remember, is that you did the last show in February 2020, right?
Yeah.
Where that was before the pandemic. And so about, 10 minutes before this show, you're like, can't wait to do it. Where am I going? And I was like, oh, shit. Blessing booked you and didn't tell you where to go. You knew nothing coming in. So I'm impressed you remember that. I appreciate it.
Yes,
out today, Dying Light 2, Stay Human on all the PlayStations, all the Xboxes and PC. Crocs World Construction Kit 2 on Xbox One and PC. Ambition Record, or maybe Record. Ambition Record or Record on all the Xboxes and PC. Maglam Road on PS4 and Switch. Frog Ball Rerolled on Switch. Math Gym on Switch. Millie and Molly on Switch. Number One Crosswords Sudoku's Bundle on Switch. Alexio, Switch. The Song of Space. The Song Out of Space, Switch. Land of Screens, Switch. New dates. Children's of Morta Online Co-op is an update that's arriving on February 14th. Yesterday, there was that Ghostwire Tokyo PlayStation State of Play. They confirmed March 25th, 2022 for the release date. And then Genshin Impact version 2.5 update releases on February 16th. Deals of the day for you. GameSpot reports that Deathloop has seen a few discounts since arriving last year, but Best Buy is currently offering one of the best prices yet. Right now, you can grab Deathloop for PlayStation 5 or PC for just $30.
Get that game.
It's a great game, Gabe.
Oh, I love that game. Oh,
I do too. What was your game of the year last year? Actually, you know what? Don't tell me. We're going to talk about that in the post show. All right. Okay. We're going to talk about your game of the year from last year in the post show.
Sounds good.
Right now, I'm going to tell you that this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, your final episode of this week. Of course, we'll be back next week. Your hosts look like this: Monday, Blessing and Tim. Tuesday, me and Gary. Wednesday, Blessing and VGC's Jordan Midler. Thursday, Greg and Tim. I should have just said me and Tim, but I'm reading very clearly. And then, hold on, this Friday one doesn't check out, does it? I think I just didn't edit that the right way. No. And then Friday, your hosts are Blessing and Aaron Ashley Simon. Threw myself off by leaving myself on there as an old document. I gotta change that. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames right now, Mike and Andy are gonna be playing some Dying Light 2 as part of an NVIDIA stream right after this. If you miss it and you want to catch it later, youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. We're not done with Gabe yet, of course. patreon.com/kindoffunnygames for the post show. But Gabe, if people wanted to follow you, where can they keep up?
Oh man, they can go to @mttgcast if they want to check out Married to the Games. They can come to @GabePatillo on Twitter. I'm over there. I'm on Instagram. I'm actually new to Twitter by myself. It's a struggle, but.
Oh, yeah? Well, because you were doing the podcast before?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, you're like, I don't have to just tweet podcast links. What do I say?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, Gabe, you killed it today. Thank you, as always.
Man, appreciate y'all having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, like I said, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames for a post show with Gabe. But know that this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. We'll be back next week. But until then, it's been our pleasure to serve you.